Well, good morning. Good to have you here as we kick off this Passion Week and head forward towards our Easter and Lord's death and his resurrection. Just celebrating that this weekend with us. We're looking forward to that. But yes, a huge thank you to everyone that came out yesterday. This is a picture of that crew that was out there. We had a lot of fun. A few different churches from town, some of the borough workers, and just a great time out there serving our town. I don't know if you noticed, I was doing face painting or arm painting, right? Because my painting was not good enough. They didn't want it on their face, apparently. I specialized in butterflies and bunnies on skateboards. I thought it'd be a good hit, but it wasn't. The unicorns, they were like going crazy. That line was out of the park, but it was great stuff. We had a good time out there. But why do we do that, right? We do that to join in what God is doing in our town. Join, you know, take Jesus and bring him to real life, right? And just serve and just go out and be his hands and feet that way to those around us. And I think of, actually, I was having coffee with someone this week and a friend of mine and just sharing how, you know, the message of Jesus, it's so much more than just a book and words, black ink on white pages. But no, it's meant to make a difference in how we interact with people, in how we serve others, in how we live our lives. And it's just a profound truth to think that through. And so huge thank you. I don't know if you know this, but Laurie Gilmore and our children's ministry, Laurie's here actually today, and our children's ministry team, Missy and her team, Jerry and their life group. I mean, there's dedicated people that serve every year to make that happen. Let's give them a huge round of applause. Thank you, Laurie. Yeah, just really appreciated. So as we come into Palm Sunday and think about this week, we thought, boy, it'd be fun to make this a really meaningful week for you and for your family. And as we come to today, Palm Sunday, and then this week, just the intensity continues to build as you build towards the cross and as you build towards the resurrection. And so we thought, well, we came across this resource, and like, this could be fun for you and a family. You can egg the neighbors. Doesn't that sound great? Not with like real, like, you know, it's like making an Easter basket of goodies, drop it off with a little note in there that says, you've been egged, hit the doorbell and run, you know, that kind of thing. But make peep s'mores, do something around food just to have some fun together and share time together that way. It might be another thing you can do. The not so good Friday. What about sharing over dinner one night? You know, share something that was really bad, even hopeless, but then it ended up turning out better than you thought. See, by doing that, you're identifying with the disciples, who certainly felt that way as they walked through this week with Jesus. And then maybe for older families, older kids, you know, reading the scriptures and allow it to, and listen for something new. Share something that's new to you. We're praying that this morning, like as we go into the scriptures this morning, I'm praying that you hear something new, that it awakens your heart to something. And as we go into the scriptures, like that's what you're looking for. And so maybe that's something you can do this week too as a family. And just for thinking, hey, if there's a way that this can be a meaningful week, we would love to see that be the case. And we pray this morning is meaningful too. So let's pray together. Lord God, I just thank you so much for this season of time when we can remember and just look at your incredible sacrifice. And as you walk towards the cross here, as we look at that today, Lord, I pray that this morning is a meaningful time for each one here. I pray that your Spirit does what only your Spirit can do, which is bring your word alive into our life. So I pray you would do that this morning for each person here. And I pray that as we move into this week, it would be a meaningful week that way for us as families and as individuals. So work in this time and go before us. In your precious name we pray. Amen. All right, that was good. So we're going to try to walk through Palm Sunday and some verses here. We're going to try to walk through his triumphant entry in three stages, looking at the crowds, then looking at the backstory a little bit, and then how that relates to us. Okay, so we're going to start with looking at the crowds here, Matthew 21. You can follow along in your Bibles if you like or on the screen. But as they approached Jerusalem, as Jesus and his disciples, they approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt, by her. Untie them, bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Zechariah talked about it. Isaiah talked about it. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now this, I've always found this quite interesting, that Jesus, takes these two guys, sends them ahead, and this happens, and there's no problem. Like, put this in present day thinking. I think I mentioned this before. I need two volunteers who will go downtown and find themselves a car that they can hotwire, bring it back to me. If anyone asks you, say, Pastor Dave needs it. All right, let's see how that works. All right. Apparently, Jesus had something going on already where he was known. I don't know. I don't know how you pull this off without being known, because they actually go do it. That's pretty fascinating too, if you think about it. The disciples went and did as Jesus instructed them to do, brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on him for Jesus to sit on, and a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowd that went out ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, Hosanna, or save, or blessed. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. There's this king's entrance as he comes into the city, and it's pretty incredible. You know, he's revered, he's admired, and when he enters Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred. The whole city was, there was excitement. And they asked, who is this guy? Who really is this guy? And they answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. See, it was such a dramatic entrance that the whole city really sort of wondered. There was definitely questions about who this guy was, why all the excitement. And I was trying to think about that a little bit this last week, and trying to think about why was all the excitement for his arrival in this situation. And I think it awakened in them, this story that they've been told for generations. And I want to try to walk you through that. It's a story of the Bible, and if you know from the beginning, God created us to live in paradise with him, in fellowship with him, in a beautiful place. And if you've followed along at all, we talk a lot at the church that we're not living in paradise. That's not where we find ourselves. No. See, as the result of sin, when sin entered the world, we lost paradise. We lost fellowship with God. Everything now is a struggle. It's a real hardship. There's pain. There's hurt. We live in a world today that is not the way it was intended to be, according to the Bible. All right, but in that moment, when all that was lost, there's this incredible promise, this whisper of hope. And Jesus, God speaks into them. He says, I'm going to send a Savior. I'm going to send someone to deliver you out of this hardship. And you have this Savior being promised through Abraham. It's passed to Isaac, to Jacob, whose name is changed to Israel, the nation of Israel. And see, that's what makes the nation of Israel so special, is the Savior, the promised one, is supposed to come through them. Well, if you know the storyline, you get to the end of Genesis, and Israel is they're in slavery down in Egypt. They're not even in their homeland anymore. They're displaced. They're slaves. But God raises up Moses. God raises up this prophet to deliver them and to get them out of there. And if you remember, the last thing that happened, the last plague to happen to get them out of Egypt was the Passover lamb, where the angel of death was coming. And they had to kill a lamb and put the blood over the doorpost. And if they were in their house and there was blood on the doorpost, the angel of death would pass over all the other families that lost the firstborn. Well, think what we're looking at. When Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, everyone is there celebrating the Passover. They're remembering back to the Passover. Well, stick with me now again with Moses. He delivers them out of Egypt. And he comes to his death. He's coming to his death. And the Lord says this. Says, I will raise up for them, for Israel, a prophet like you. See, God's saying there's going to be prophets for every generation that will speak of this coming promised one, that's going to come, that's going to deliver. He says, I will raise up a prophet like you, Moses, for every generation. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. And see, when they were saying, this is Jesus the prophet, it was awakening. All this emotion, all this excitement that their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents all longed for, this promised one that was going to come. There was excitement. There was anticipation. There was like an electricity in the air. I think that's why they were so pumped up. And this is a picture that I think sort of captures it a little bit, you know, at Easter. You think about just the eyes of a child, but just something, just anticipation and joy. And so the crowds, as we're first introduced into them here, they are just in a frenzy. I don't know about you, but I really enjoyed the Final Four, the basketball, college basketball this last season. It was incredible. And I'm learning to enjoy basketball more and more. But Virginia, the storyline of Virginia this year is amazing. And not only were the games incredible, where they, like, last minute just got squeaked through. Literally, in one game, there was under a second left, probably like half a second left, and they got fouled. So they could take three shots on this foul shot, and they were down two. When they hit all three, when they hit the second one, I went nuts. When they hit the third one, I was like out of the park crazy. But just so much excitement around the game. But the backstory is amazing because last year they came in as the number one seed to the tournament and they lost to the 16th seed. They made history with that. That never happened before. Okay, and then this year to take it all the way to win it, it was just the excitement. And the just the electricity around all that. Well, I don't know what your house was like if you were watching it, but our house, it was pretty cool. We were having a lot of fun with that. I'm also with our work out at the park. What we see God doing out there is just so neat. This is a quick picture of the building from this last week. They have all the exterior is on there, except for we're going to get some lettering on there yet. The wood there, that's going to be glass garage doors that are coming yet. So it's moving along incredible. You know, this last week in the kitchen equipment, we had a kitchen company come on board that they're donating half of the kitchen equipment, $10,000 worth. Isn't that awesome? Like, God continues to work in that. And it is just really awesome to see. And there's a huge excitement about that. And obviously, I love all of that and being a part of that. But there's a backstory to that, too, that it's really been difficult on our family. And they're sick of hearing about it. And there's challenge, you know, anytime you're trying to do something like this, there's a lot of challenge involved. And that's what I want you to see here, too. I found this so interesting in this story as we look at Palm Sunday. There's a backstory going on here that's pretty incredible. If you jump over to Luke 19:41, there's this backstory. There's more happening than meets the eye. And if you can put yourself with Jesus as he's approaching Jerusalem, there's all this electricity, all this excitement. And I was over in Israel before, and as you come to Jerusalem, you're going uphill and you're driving around these corners and all around. And then at one point, the city comes into view and you see it. And I think that's what happened here too. Jesus sees the city and he weeps over them. He weeps over it. And that word there is only used when he lost his good friend Lazarus. That's the only other time. Like, it's a deep mourning, a deep sadness, like a deep emotion. And he says, if you had only known this day, what would bring you peace? See, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And he was coming into Jerusalem. And what's he say? But now it's hidden from your eyes. And he sees the people, and he sees the place, he sees the structures, and man, his heart is hurting. He says, the day will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you, and they'll encircle you, they'll hem you on every side, they'll dash you to the ground, you and your children within the walls. They will not leave a stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. I don't know if you can capture this, but I think it's fascinating to see this backstory that Jesus, with all this excitement around him, he sees forward and he sees how this crowd is actually going to turn. They're not actually going to accept him. They're actually going to reject him. It's a powerful moment, I think. I hear the heart of a parent who so wants to communicate to their son or their daughter something of great importance. But for some reason, they can't hear it. The child cannot hear it. And it's like you long to help, but you just can't seem to get it through. There's a deep hurt there. We as pastors, we love to be able to come alongside of you and serve you guys as a body, but many of you are going through deep battles and hardship and struggles that are super painful. You know, in your families or in your marriages. And suffering. Pastor Aaron talked last week how Jesus went, the apostles, you know, they didn't come in the front of the procession. No, they came at the end. And following Jesus is following him in his suffering. You know, I think each one of us have experienced rejection at some level or another. Maybe it was that girlfriend or boyfriend, you know, back in the day that you so wanted to go out with, you know, something like that. But, or something quite more serious. You know, there's reject, when you experience rejection, it's such hurt. There's such pain. And we respond differently, often in anger. Jesus is, he joins us in our suffering. Like, we're not alone in that. Like, he was leading the way in that. He was despised and rejected by men, Isaiah says. A man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one to whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. I think it's fascinating to think about that in the face of this rejection, what did Jesus do? He keeps walking towards the cross. Again, put yourself in this situation, the crowd, all this anticipation, but he sees right through it. He sees through all that excitement and he sees forward and he sees their rejection and yet he keeps walking towards the cross. It's incredible. It's an absolute incredible truth. See, I think if we're honest, I think each one of us at one point of another would find ourselves identifying with the crowd in times of praising the Lord and like tracking and in times of like maybe 30 seconds later, you know, doing something that is like, man, I want nothing to do with you. And turning from him. But if you hear one thing, this is what I want you to hear. Because this is, I think it's mind blowing. Like he sees us, just like he sees that crowd. In all their good and all their bad, he sees us. He sees us. Just like he saw the colt, right? He saw the colt was going to be there. He saw the crowd was going to turn. He's going to see the Passover rooms available for communion. He sees forward. He sees us. And yet, he weeps for us. He longs for us to come home. Like he doesn't see us in rejection and walk away from us. No, he walks towards us. Beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. Isaiah goes on to say this. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. He was punished. His punishment, it was the punishment that brought peace was upon him. You hear that? He was pierced, he was crushed, he was punished. Why? So we could have peace. Just like he came to the city, he wanted to bring them peace. And the verse ends by saying, by his wounds, we are healed. That's the hope of Easter. That's the beauty of it. His death, we're going to celebrate communion and think and just take some time to reflect on this Jesus that we serve. And like, it's incredible if you think about it. the God of the universe, for God so loved us, the world, that he gave his son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. It's by his wounds. He identifies with all of our rejection. He identifies with all of our struggle. He walked that road. By him walking that road, we can experience peace. We can experience healing. We can experience his love. And he sees you. He sees you if you're celebrating him. He sees you if you're rejecting him. But he weeps for you. He cares. He loves you. Like a parent loves a child. He loves you and he longs for you to come home. We thought we'd end with a song here by David Crowder. Just a time. It's called Come As You Are. And it's just a time for us to reflect before we go into communion then. A time to reflect of where are you at with the Lord? What would it look like for you to come home? What would it look like for you to turn your heart to him in this moment, wherever you find yourself today? And our thought is, you know, may this kick off an incredible week, a meaningful week, where the cross, as we remember that, and his resurrection just means something so much more to you personally. But listen to the words of the song. I was really just encouraged with the words that earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Wow. We just hope and pray that this is an extremely meaningful week for you individually, for your family. Just reflect on our identification, maybe with the crowd. Maybe you're tracking and things are, and God's just very real in your life, and that's awesome. Maybe you're at a point of rejection, all right? God sees us right where we're at, and he weeps for us, and he longs for us to come to him. And see, that's why he died on the cross, so that we could be forgiven. He died on the cross so we could experience healing. And so this weekend, this coming weekend, then we're going to celebrate his death, but we don't always only celebrate his death. No, we celebrate his resurrection. Amen. And we're inviting people to the risen Jesus. You're inviting people to experience the power of the resurrected Christ. And he speaks hope into those situations. We're not left in our guilt or in our shame or in our struggle. No, we are broke free from that through the power of Jesus. And so when you're inviting people, you're inviting them to so much more than a service. You're inviting them to meet Jesus. And I just pray, Lord, I pray right now that as we go from here, that it might be a meaningful week for us, reflecting on all that you've done for us, and that you might bring people across our path, that you might want to use our words or to use our hands and use our feet to share your love and to share your goodness and to share the joy of Easter. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Have an awesome week.